south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Okay, lately, been getting some emails from people asking me about bringing vitamins, supplements, and prescription medicines down to Latin America. And just what kind of hoops and BS you have to go through, considering airport shakedowns are getting tougher and tougher. And let me ask you this. In your travels, how many times has the TSA or immigration confiscated some of your items? Food, bottles, packages, whatever. And how'd you feel about that? Didn't you, just for a second anyway, want to punch that fat-ass, parasitic, power-hungry government bureaucrat in the face? And of course, I mean that in the kindest way. Well, I can tell you this. As you enter a Latin American airport, whatever you're expecting or have been led to believe, it's a lot like going through an airport back in the States in the 70s and 80s. In fact, a lot of times they actually let me walk through the metal scanners and all that with an open water bottle and my pockets stuffed with nuts and fruits. Sure, you're supposed to empty all your pockets and take your shoes and your belt off and all that, but I've also seen at Latin airports the TSA types let older folks and such occasionally skip the shoes off and the stripped-down rags and walk right through. I mean, come on. How many airlines have been hijacked by shoe bombers or otherwise, or even attempted shoe-bombing hijackers apprehended in all Latin American airports since 9/11? Or ever, for that matter? How about a grand total of zero? Nada. If you notice, at Latin airports, the workers don't seem to enjoy pawing or feeling you up at all. They're only obeying international flight regulations, and it seems their heart is not really into it. And I've seen them even be actually apologetic about it. Is that the usual TSA attitude up north? I don't think so. So they carry out the very minimum requirements, but reluctantly, compared to the way they screw with you at first world airports. That said, I've been asked a number of times, what about bringing prescription medicine and vitamins and supplements down on the airplane? Now, as far as prescription medicine, it's always a great idea, and in fact, it's mandatory, to bring your stuff down in the original prescription bottles. And it's always good to carry your doctor's prescription with you, too. Although I've never heard of a case at all down here in Latin America where immigration or customs at the airport ever even bothered to pick through, much less open, a person's prescription medicine bottle. That seems to be an exclusive perverted right of first world TSA. So again, with prescription medicines, just bring them with the original bottles and the doctor's prescription or a copy of the prescription if you have one. Now, I know a lot of people get their prescriptions called in by their doctor to a pharmacy up in the States, so there won't be a written prescription. But don't worry. When it's in the original bottle, it's fine because all your dats are printed on the label. And like I said, that stuff's only useful when you're going through U.S. borders because that's where they're going to check you. Forget about the Latin borders. I mean, I've taken 1,000 flights and they're just not interested. Unless, of course, you're carrying a commercial quantity. Let's say 500 pills, enough for a small army. Then you're going to have to be ready with some answers. Even so, the worst that could happen is that they'll just confiscate them. Or make you pay some kind of duty. Now, as far as vitamins and supplements, stuff that's obtained without a prescription, of course, you're not going to bring the gigantic original bottles of fish oil, for example, you know, 500 smelly soft gel caps. What you're going to want to do is break it down to just the amount you're going to need for the length of your trip. For example, if you're gone a month, you might need 30 of one kind of vitamin, whatever, and 30 of whatever else you're taking. But don't mix them all up in one container. And what I recommend, and what always seems to work, is that you separate out all your vitamins and supplements into separate little see-through plastic bags. Small Ziploc bags. Then, for example, in the case of Coenzyme Q10, you might try to peel the label off the original bottle and then stick it on the plastic Ziploc bag. And if you can't peel the label, write the name of the pill and the dosage on a small piece of paper and stick it in the plastic bag so that you can read it through the bag, of course. Duh. And some smart gringos take a snapshot with their phone of the vitamin labels, print them out, and stick them in the bag with the vitamins. It's a little extra work, but then you're really covered. Now, for example, if you're taking, let's say, 10 supplements, you got 10 little Ziploc bags. I'm talking small ones. And you shove them all in a big Ziploc bag. So you're keeping them all together in one main big Ziploc bag. Now, note that I quit using regular Ziploc bags, you know, the traditional ones, in favor of the newer ones with a little nub, like a zipper that you can open and close rapidly, 10 or 20 or even 50 times in a period of about a minute. With the newer ones, the seal is always very good. You don't have to fumble around like the old Ziploc bags, squeezing and checking to see if the seal is good. I remember when the first Ziplocs came out, they had one seal and then two seals and then three seals, but still they weren't perfect. The perfect case of more is not always better. That's especially true with booze, ballast, bacon, and bureaucracies. So, by all means, do use the newer, slightly more expensive Ziplocs with the little zipper on them. Not only that, those things are absolutely indispensable when you're carrying creams and lotions and, ladies, your makeup, and other delicate and potentially very messy items. And guys, you have stuff like that too. The fact is, you can use the same bags over and over many times on many trips. Now, I don't know how much you travel, but I've had plenty of instances of bottle and liquid and cream leakage. They stain and sometimes ruin your clothes, your luggage, and your day. I know. And by the way, try to really minimize your carry-on drugs and vitamins and supplements and liquids, etc. Because you find when you stow it instead of carry-on, it'll almost never be disturbed. Oh, and again, concerning vitamins and supplements, just note that down here in Latin America, you can get all that stuff, but it's quite expensive. They've got that crappy GNC outlet down here, and virtually no cut-rate vitamin or supplement dispensaries at all. So they've got GNCs all over the place, but gringos know those places are ripping you off. However, note there are thousands of mom-and-pop urban spice shops, so getting that stuff's not a problem. In many cases, it's much cheaper than the same stuff up in the first world. So then who buys at GNC? Clueless Latin gringo wannabes with a lot of money. And the occasional visiting gringo who needs an emergency supply of something. Sometimes you think that's your only alternative, but it's not. Sure, down here they've got other mom-and-pop health food stores and stuff, but same crap, GNC prices. So then you might ask, how can you get exactly what you want in the vitamin and supplement department without paying three or four times as much at a rip-off palace like GNC? Well, that's easy. You use one of these mail forwarding services that I mentioned before in past shows. You know, the ones I told you that have outlets in Miami. In fact, the one I use, I can order vitamins and supplements, etc., from anywhere, including Amazon, of course, and any other first world company. Then, when you pay with that stuff with your credit card, or, hint, hint, your SA Corporation credit card, you use that Miami mail forwarding service as your address. Then they'll gather your stuff up from wherever it came, Amazon or your brother-in-law, who knows, ship it down to your Latin American country, and you can either pick it up at their outlet, which is always near one of the international airports in your country, or they'll ship it to your door for something like $2 or $3. Imagine that. And get this, the service that I'm using now charges me a whole $5 a pound, complete. That includes taxes and duties, no matter what the package is really worth. There are no other extra charges at all. So, for example, if you wanted to buy a bottle of 180 magnesium caps from Amazon, from your particular favorite vitamin supplier, let's say Amazon charges $20 for that. When you order it, you put down your Miami shipping address, not your billing address. All companies let you do that. Now, since the bottle only weighs 9 ounces, under a pound, once you get it, you only pay $5 to the shipping company. So in that case, you're only paying 20% more than if you had it shipped to Cleveland or anywhere else in the U.S. Now, one of my long-term gringo expat friends here is a photographer. Doesn't make any money at it, but he has a lot of nice shows and stuff at local big city galleries, etc. But don't we all throw money into our hobbies that we'll never get back? Oh, well, that's why they call them hobbies. And for example, he recently bought a lens for one of his cameras. I think it was like $480. What did it weigh? About 12 ounces. So he paid the camera outfit in the States $480 by credit card. And in a couple of days' time, they forwarded it from the Miami box to their box in Panama where he lives, and it cost him a whole $5 plus $3 shipping to his home to have that thing delivered. So in that case, on a $480 item, he paid about 1.8% of that cost to have it delivered from the original supplier in the States to his doorstep in Panama. You get the idea. Now, note, what some health-conscious gringos I know down here do is that they have, once a year, all their oddball vitamins and supplements shipped to a friend or relative up in the States, and they, in turn, open the boxes, throw out all the pamphlets and promotions and styrofoam peanuts, condense all that stuff down to one little box, then that friend or relative ships it down to the Miami mail forwarding service. Then it arrives in their Latin American country. They get notified by email. That's how the company notifies you that it's arrived. And maybe now the package weighs 3 or 4 or 5 or even 10 pounds. Who knows, depending on what kind of junk you've ordered. Then again, you pay $5 a pound plus, get this, a $3 airport to your door shipping charge, and that's it. You have it in about a week or two. Nope, not complicated or expensive at all. In fact, there are some cool ways to do this anonymously, by the way. I'll tell you all about that when you come down to my expat wisdom seminar. Certain little tricks have to remain secret, you know. And speaking of my next expat wisdom seminar, which is July 2015, don't forget to sign up soon. Now, since today's particular expat file show is scheduled to go out on April 8th, that means the seminar will get rolling in about exactly 2 months, which gives all you guys and gals out there who are thinking about getting your residency started when you come down to the seminar, you know, kill two birds with one stone. Be advised again, it takes about 2 weeks to a month to get your paperwork in order up in the States to bring down to Latin America, in this case, Guatemala, because that's where we're doing the seminar. So you still have plenty of time to get your ducks in order up there. So get the ball rolling on your plan B. Kill two birds with one stone and come to the seminar and get your residency started too. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link for all info. Now, about residency, if you have any questions, don't forget to listen to my last 3 shows where I discussed the process completely. Even better, send me an email and I'll send you a written report that describes in complete detail the step-by-step process. Just send that email to johnny@expatwisdom.com or theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And note that this residency report that I put together is completely up to date as of April and May 2015. So get that plan B in action. Time's a-wasting. Remember, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, and Buddha helps those who help themselves, or something like that. And by the way, people ask me all the time why I occasionally refer to Buddha. Am I a Buddhist? No. But I'll tell you this, if I was to follow anyone's teachings, it would be Buddha's. Why? Just look at that guy. He's so fat and happy, always smiling. Now, there's a guy you want to party with. And everybody else's religious icons? So sad and sorrowful and just not looking so happy at all. That said, my vote's for the jolly fat guy with the happy-ass grin. I mean, laughter is the best medicine now, right? That said, here's an email that came right after my last webinar, which I think was, what, 2 weeks ago? And by the way, if you want to get in on one of my webinars, I'm doing them every 2 or 3 weeks now, which means you can just sign up. It's for free. Just go to expatwisdom.com and the info is all there. So what happens at these webinars? Well, you got me live for about an hour and you can submit your questions and I'll answer them as they come up on the screen. You don't have to get on the air if you don't want to. Just submit questions and I'll give them my best shot. Remember, it's free. Just go to expatwisdom.com to check when my next webinar is scheduled. Anyway, at one of my recent webinars, people were asking about chemtrails, and I mentioned that I haven't actually seen any down here in Latin America yet, and I look up at the sky all the time. However, some of my expat friends have told me they've seen them in Mexico and Costa Rica, to which I said, not that I don't believe you, but please send me the photos. That said, here's the email. Hey, Johnny. Thanks to you and Robert for a very good webinar this morning. You might remember that I sent you a message talking about chemtrails in Costa Rica and Mexico, and you asked for photos. Interestingly enough, as soon as I sent that message, my internet service went down for about 10 to 15 minutes, literally the exact moment that I pressed the send button. Then, this afternoon, when I was on the upstairs patio getting a bit of sun, I heard a buzzing noise. kind of like a swarm of houseflies or a race car track way off in the distance. I wondered if someone was using one of those gas-powered edgers to cut their grass. But the noise got closer and closer, and when I looked up, I saw a drone in the shape of an X with a large camera attached to the bottom of it. It flew past, turned around, and flew past again, then took off. It was flying so fast I didn't even have time to remember to put my head down on the first pass so they got a good photo of me. This might sound made up, but it ain't. I wish it was. So you'll have to excuse me if I'm a little paranoid today and I don't send you those photos of chemtrails in Mexico City. But I will mention that two of the cities in which I saw the trails myself were a good hour and a half or so from the nearest airport and had no airports of their own. Not even small ones. Nor did I ever notice aircraft flying over those cities. So, unless the airlines have a new policy of plotting their flight paths over heavily populated areas, the trails were quite out of place. And, of course, they had that characteristic of staying in the air and spreading out into thin, stringy, and sickly-looking clouds. So, there's an eyewitness report for you. Now, for all you non-believers in chemtrails out there, and I'm sure there are quite a few, I just listened to a big report coming from PRN and Gary Null, transcripts, believe it or not, from NASA, and a Bill Gates report talking about what the U.S. and private contractors have been spraying in the atmosphere since at least 1985 to, quote, modify the weather. So there's no doubt this stuff is happening. Here you got spokespersons from NASA and the Bill Gates Foundation admitting it. Okay, and I mention that just so you don't send me a bunch of emails saying I'm full of hot air crap or worse. And by the way, to add to that, the Chinese government has also admitted that they too have a huge ongoing weather manipulation project, again involving disseminating chemicals and elements in the atmosphere. Okay, enough said about chemtrails, don't want to go there anymore, until I get those pictures. Now, amongst all the emails I get, often people will send me copies of investment offers they've received and business prospectus concerning real estate, agricultural, and mining offers down here in Latin America that are being touted to gringos. I know if you go to any of these big expat websites, like International Living and multiple other sites, they are constantly selling things. That's how they make money. Many times you'll see them touting certain investments that they've more or less put their seal of approval on, or else they wouldn't show up on their websites. So occasionally some of my listeners ask me about those things. You know, are they for real? What are the risks? People just want to be reassured. They want an opinion from someone who's been living down here in Latin America a long time. Do these things really work? Do they put out the kind of returns that the prospectus says they should over the years? And are those business offers a good way to get started on internationalizing yourself in Latin America? Well, not being an investment counselor, I can't offer you professional advice, but I can tell you this. I've had a lot of personal experience in dealing with offers like this. And I know a lot of gringos and expats who have made the plunge, and almost none of them are ever happy about it in the long term. So after being exposed to so many supposed great deals like this, let me give you my general opinion about this stuff. Then you decide. Now, personally, I don't like these very far away long-term investments. I would not invest in any project that's so far away from where I live that I could not completely inspect and walk the grounds periodically. Now remember, I'm talking about the usual kind of deals that come our way, like real estate, farming, mining, land deals, developments and such. Fact is, I've been down here 25 plus years now, and I've seen these kind of offers come and go. So then why keep marketing this stuff to gringos? Because they're a bit gullible and have got the money, obviously. Well, for example, in Costa Rica, every few years there's suddenly a slew of investments, quote, for gringos, or at least for typical English speakers, because you see promotions and ads popping up in the local English-speaking tourist newspapers. Never a good sign. And I always wonder why you almost never see the same ads and promotions in the Spanish-speaking news. Why wouldn't you want to market these things to rich Latins? Isn't their funny money just as green as yours is? Turns out it's much easier to sell a gringo with rose-colored glasses than it is a Latin whose family has been down here a long, long time. That said, for example, in Costa Rica and Panama, where tourism is more developed. Every few years, there's suddenly a slew of investments for gringos, mostly for agricultural things like macadamia nut farms or teak plantations that seem very well researched and subscribed, and then a year or so later, they kind of disappear or fade away. Now remember, most of these investments don't even start producing any dough at all for 5 or 10 years. Teak trees, for example, take 20 years before you can make a harvest. Now, for fruits like avocados and mangoes, you still need at least 5 years before your trees start producing. So anyone who promises a return in the first 2 or 3 years, they're lying to you. I know, I've got avocado and mango trees, and I'm telling you, it takes 5 to 7 years to even get your first crop, and it's going to be very small for the next coming 3 or 4 years because the trees are still bush-sized. Now, over the years, I've known a lot of very intelligent gringos and expats who have invested in these things and have great piles of paperwork to prove it, because Latins are excellent at generating gigantic piles of paperwork in triplicate. Oh, and with dozens of artistically designed stamps and seals to boot. Yep, a beautiful sight to see if you're into nice-looking paperwork. And remember, it's all in Spanish, too. Now, note that, unlike in the first world, a great percentage of the time, projects like these eventually are abandoned, or the projections are drastically downsized over the years, or worse. In fact, I can't think of a single project now, and I've seen dozens of these, that don't ask for more maintenance, more capital fees, or supposed one-time cash injections for unrealized or, quote, unexpected, miscellaneous, unanticipated expenses. And it seems like Latins do have great ideas and big, expansive ideas, but they often drop the ball after they get the project subscribed and that first big chunk of money comes in. As I've mentioned so many times in previous shows, Latins, even professionals with a lot of so-called degrees, are very big on promises, but almost always lax on the follow-up. Note, even when gringos are supposedly involved in the management, always a good sign, right? You would think. There's just no guarantee that the project you see on paper is going to be run like a first-world operation. In fact, it's sad to say, but I know a lot of gringos who've been down here a long, long time, and they've been kind of contaminated, associating with Latins who do drop the ball all the time. So you could say, in cases where gringos have gotten involved in the management, they've gone native too. Not good. I've known gringos personally who operate on the bigger fool theory, in that they got into what they thought was a good investment at first that went sour. Then they try to modernize it or shine it up a bit or change the marketing plan to recoup their dough. Try to convince some fresh new gringos with the tropical winds and sands in their eyes. Because, you see, a gringo marketing the idea in English is 1,000 times more likely to sell an idea to another gringo. And if you think I'm exaggerating or blowing hot air up your butt, I can think of 2 long-term gringos off the top of my head right now that bought in early on to some of these very stupid investments, and they've actually pitched me the idea to try to sell some of that garbage to you, my listeners out there, and of course, I'd receive a hefty percentage of the profits. So there are unscrupulous gringos down here, especially ones that have been scammed a few times themselves. And because of that, I've ditched a few gringos as friends and acquaintances. So take it from me, if long-term gringos, professional gringos, are trying to get me to help them unload their bad deals and properties, and these are people I know who out of one side of their mouth say what a raw deal they got and then are hatching plans to unload it on some greater fool. Now, imagine what it's like out there in the world of slick internet marketers trying to get you to buy crap like that, and you'd never know it. I'm not saying these deals are total scams. There's land. There's a project, all right. But like I said, even the smartest, most educated gringos who come down here are fooled by slick promoters, especially when there's a gringo or two involved, and the website is cool, and the photos spectacular. Now, most of these projects start out with great intentions. And note, when these investments involve tropical fruits and vegetables, people forget these crops are very fragile, and 100 things can affect them. For example, you see these big, juicy Tommy mangoes down here during a certain 3-month season, And at the very beginning of the season, a single mango could cost you a dollar at a local market. Then, a month later, you can get them for 10 cents a piece. So, like I said, prices are all over the place. So, bottom line, I've always found it best to invest in an idea that you have thought of yourself or discovered along the way after a decent length of boots-on-the-ground action. And note that almost all of the Latin businessmen who've approached me with so-called great investment ideas, somehow I found out later, they fail to disclose certain things. If anything, they're just way too optimistic about everything, including life itself. In fact, Latins are the most optimistic people I know. And if you're not careful, you'll get sucked into the moment yourself. And remember, they don't call this the third world for nothing. Once you get over the tropical weather and the blue sky effect, you'll see even so-called professional Latins don't do their homework like we do. And Latin business guys with MBAs, they're the worst. Down here, most of these guys are still living at home with their parents. Just like in the States, right? Now, I know there are so many thousands and thousands of smart first world types looking for places to put their money in the third world, many who later found themselves sucked into a black hole. Oh, I know a lot of gringos who found themselves in that scenario. I was nearly sucked in a few times myself. That said, with the extremely precarious state of the world economy now, we must all look at the realistic projected state of how things will be some years down the line. So then, let me ask you this. Suppose you do buy into that avocado, macadamia, mango farm, whatever, even if it's paying out right now, in 2, 3, or 4 years, with new and deeper financial and economic problems worldwide in the wind, will there even be an export market for your product, for your mangoes, for your avocados, your teak? Suppose you did get in on a surefire ground floor gringo opportunity. Maybe a coffee, cacao, or rubber tree plantation that promised returns starting in 5 years. Do you really think the world's going to be the same in 5 years? And when the euro fails and the petrodollar snaps and there's more sovereign state bankruptcies like in Argentina and certainly Venezuela, not to mention the U.S., of course, what countries then are going to be buying your product? So again, I'm not saying there aren't tremendous investments down here, but please, don't invest based on an internet promo. You must come on down and get your boots on the ground and see this stuff for yourself. I mean, come on, would you order a car online without seeing one in person, kicking the tires and driving it first? Same thing.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old style.